Hey friends, I'm Penny Joy, host of Abide, the podcast where we explore what it means to truly abide in Christ in every area of life, from faith to relationships, health, and business. Whether you're seeking deeper connection, healing, or wisdom, you're in the right place.
Hello, Abide podcast friends. After nearly a two-month break, I am back. I had lost my voice for nearly a month, and then I encountered what I consider to be pretty significant spiritual resistance, or some kind of oppression, to me putting out today's episode. And that's really been in the works for the last 2 months. In full transparency, it took me a while to even recognize that the message God was building that I will share with you today was not something the enemy wants out there in the world. And now I know why. I think today's episode will absolutely, without a doubt, change your life. And I'm talking about all areas of your life. Your health, your relationships, finances, and it will change the lives of those around you in a profound way. And dare I say that today's episode will change generations to come. And this is because God's word and some of the truths from my own brokenness and failures of my past that I'm going to share with you are life-altering. But before I get to that, I have to say thank you once again for sharing my first four episodes. I am blown away. And that's just an understatement of how fruitful this podcast has been. I'm just this girl from North Idaho living in the woods, and it just blows my mind. The listeners in the UK, thank you. You guys have been sharing this like crazy, and I'm just like, wow. But I'm also reminded that it's God's word speaking to your heart. That it's these episodes have been resonating. So thank you for sharing them. Thank you for listening to me and my words. And we're going to dig into that more today. Because God's word and his principles are alive. Words spoken 2,000 years ago are resonating in our hearts and minds. And his word does not return void, scripture says. It accomplishes everything it was meant to accomplish. And that is actually the topic of today's episode. The purpose, the pain, and the power of our words. Once again, I guarantee, this is 100% guarantee, friends. If you put the principles in practice that you are going to hear about today, your life will be changed for the better. And every relationship, whether it's at work or your spouse, or your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your friends, your relationship with God, it will change for the better. So what about words? Here are some interesting stats. Research indicates that individuals speak approximately 16,000 words per day, but there are gender differences. A study found that women aged 25 to 64 speak about 21,845 words daily, while men in the same age group speak around 18,570 words. Now, I've been married 25 years as of last week, and I can attest that this is true. So could my husband. I can talk, especially to him. Now, admittedly, my mouth has gotten me into more trouble in my life than just about anything else. I have had to face more than one reckoning because I was a loosey-goosey with my lips, and then I had to backpedal on things I said because I didn't mean to say what I did, or maybe I said the wrong things with the wrong attitude, and that tone didn't convey my heart. And that's the thing about words. Once the cat is out of the bag, you can't take it back. Those words I've spoken, and the words that you have spoken, they're out in the universe, and they are lodged into someone else's heart and mind who heard them, for the good or the bad. Now, I've been a believer and a follower of Jesus for nearly 27 years, and I have rarely heard sermons and regular teaching about the importance of our words. Now, sure, there's some faith circles. There's teaching known as name it and claim it. But when I'm talking about words today, it's from a different angle. One of the things I seek to do here on this podcast is talk about things that others won't. And this topic is one of those. And learning to manage our words can change the course of our lives and the course of others' lives. As I reflect upon my years in elementary school and junior high, I don't remember my teachers or much of what I learned in school, but I sure do remember the words that was said to me by my peers. I matured earlier than most kids my age. I was taller and more developed. And even in elementary school, I had just a lot of pimples all over my face. And kids in school would call me Penny Pimple or Pizza Face. And my last name was Ham. Ham as in like pork, right? Ham. And they would call me Nickel Bologna because my name was Penny Ham. Or they'd say, get a piece of ham for a penny. And I was like, oh, so now I'm going to be 52. I laugh about it, but they were clever names, I guess. But I remember calling kids names too, like calling someone doofus or dork or worse things I won't say here on the podcast. I sure wasn't innocent. But isn't it interesting that what I remember about my childhood the most was the words that hurt me? You might be recalling names that you were called or names that you called others. The reason we remember this is because words are powerful. They have the power to hurt the heart, but they also bruise the soul. They leave scars and memories that can't be undone. They also have the power to heal and be affirming and life-giving. So why do our words have such power? We're going to dig into that. But we need to go back to the beginning in the book of Genesis, because this is where words began. So in Genesis, God spoke the world into existence. And stay with me here because I'm going to dig into the science of this, and it is fascinating. I'm very much a sciencey person. I love science and love mathematics, even though I wasn't so good at it. But the science behind our words shows their power. So God spoke the universe into being. He said, let there be light. Let the waters be separated. Let the dry land appear. Let the earth sprout vegetation. Let the earth spring forth living creatures. Let us make man in our image. And that us is the first reference to the Godhead that we know, or is referenced as the Trinity. But it's God, single God, one God. There is just one God with three distinct personalities: the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So this is going to blow your mind, though. Sound is a form of energy. Sound is a vibration. It travels in waves. We can measure it in frequencies. So God's voice, the sound coming from him, is literally energy. The vibration of his voice is embedded in every part of creation. So right now we're on this huge spinning rock hanging out in the middle of our galaxy. Everything is in its place and has been in its place. We see in Colossians 1:17, it says, in him, all things are held together. So it is by his word that this whole world is being held together. So you might not be able to see energy, vibration, and frequency, but that is how God made you. And that is how he created your body to work in relation to the rest of creation. We know from science that our very voice gives off frequencies which can measure our emotional states and even the health of our organs. This is known as bioresonance testing. But the science alone shows just how powerfully our voice is, and when expressed in words, has the power to create states in us and in others. The power of your words also has the ability to change our cellular expression. So there's studies on stress, healing, and gene expression. And this research shows that stressful and harsh language increases cortisol, the stress hormone in the body, which can damage cells over time, right? And then positive affirmations, prayer, or spoken blessings have the power to lower blood pressure, boost immune function, and turn on your healing genes through a process called epigenetics. Studies in psychoneuroimmunology, let me say that again, if I get it right, psychoneuroimmunology, this is a whole new field of science, shows that how you speak and think impacts cellular repair, immune response, and inflammation. So words trigger emotional and psychological reactions. And science backs this up because words cause real chemical changes in your brain. So positive words like love, hope, and joy release dopamine and oxytocin. That's that feel-good love hormone. And negative words like hate and worthlessness and failure, they trigger cortisol, the stress hormone. So words don't just float out harmlessly in the world. They literally impact our nervous system and our emotions and that of others. Words are also tied deeply to our identity and our sense of belonging. Because as humans, we're deeply relational. But from childhood, the words others spoke to us, such as you're smart or you're stupid or you're loved or you're not enough, whatever words were spoken to you, often become the internal narratives we carry. On previous podcasts, I talked about the stories we tell ourselves. And those usually originated from the stories others told us about ourselves. And we believed it. And we live those stories. Because that's the power of words in our life. Because we long for connection, words either affirm or threaten our sense of belonging. And that's our core human need. to be connected to one another. That's why I think in some small way, the fact that you're listening to this right now, I feel a sense of connectedness to you, because I know you're listening. And I think that shows me that I matter to God and you matter to God, and He's connecting our hearts through this episode, through these podcasts. I never intended on doing this, but here I am, and there you are. When someone speaks life over us, we feel safe, don't we? When someone tears us down or ignores us, we feel rejected. Jesus is also called in Scripture the Word made flesh. God's very existence is tied to words, which are sound frequencies sending creative energy into us and into the universe. When God spoke creation into existence, and I believe that to this day, that those sounds are still creating universe after universe. And that's what science is finding out. They're still finding new universes, because God's word, and when He spoke it thousands of years ago, or I don't really know exactly, but when He spoke it, it's still bringing life. And it's bringing life in you. His word, His spirit in you right now. You feel it. He's creating in you. The law of conservation of energy states that energy can either be created nor destroyed. It's only converted from one form of energy to another, so it stands to reason that God's spoken word is still creating. Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. But thanks to space and science, we're able to see these distant galaxies, new black holes, new planets, and new stars emerging from the very energy that created them in the beginning." Now, thinking of God's spoken word is still creating galaxies is amazing. But what about right here on Earth and right now in your life? The book of Proverbs says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Words are creative or destructive forces. They're spiritually alive. When we speak, we are not just communicating. We're partnering with either life or death. We're either building up or we're tearing down. Words stick because we are meaning makers. Meaning, we constantly assign meaning to what we hear. One small comment, such as, "You'll never amount to anything," can embed itself into our hearts and be replayed 1,000 times, because we are wired to seek patterns and meaning. That's why affirmations, blessings, and encouragements can be so healing, because they help rewrite the old destructive meanings of the things that people said to us. So words are powerful because God demonstrated His power by using His words to create mankind and all of creation. With that power comes a responsibility to wield our power and speak love. But there is a truth that we all have to face. And that is the pain of our words. In today's society especially, we are taught or even encouraged to speak our minds and say whatever we think or feel. I, for one, have used words flippantly. I was trying to be funny. or a little sarcastic. But words are so important. There is so much in Scripture said about our words. God says in Matthew 12, 36 and 37, He says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. And I think God put that scripture there because He was telling us to be intentional about the use of the most powerful tool we have. We just haven't been taught just how powerful our words are. We feel the power, don't we? And we feel the pain of the words that have been spoken to us and the words we've spoken to others that have caused relationships to fall apart. Words we want to take back, but we can't. If our words can change our cellular structure and heal disease, and if by our words we can obtain salvation, then there is really nothing more important in your life and your eternal destination, because that is how you accept Christ. It's by your words. It's by your profession of faith in Him and asking for forgiveness, repenting of your sin, and entering into a personal relationship with Christ. I'm not talking about religion. Talking about a relationship with the Almighty God who spoke the world into existence, who spoke you into existence, who spoke you into existence right now to hear this podcast. He knew you would hear it. Stay with me. The thing is, God knew we'd struggle with words. He knew we'd get hurt by words spoken to us. And He knew that we would hurt others. I've come to realize in my nearly 52 years on this earth that there is an unfortunate truth that we often hurt people that we love the most with our words. And I think it's because when we're around people we love and we know people who love us, we let our guard down. And their words mean more to us than anybody else. And so the power of their words can hurt so much more when it's your spouse or a close friend or someone who's like a brother to you or a sister. I've had to come to terms with this myself and ask for forgiveness for the things I've said, especially to my husband, a former boss I had, and close friends. They, of all people, are people I didn't want to hurt, and I did. And I have to own that. But we all need to own our words and the hurt we've caused. Like those hurtful words kids said to me back in elementary school, I still remember those words 40 years later like they were yesterday. I don't want hurtful words like the ones I've said to those I love to resonate in their minds years from now. Of all people, the people we love the most, they deserve words of love, affirmation, and encouragement. But we are all walking this journey together, aren't we? The human journey of frailty that leads us to forgiveness. And God is taking us from glory to glory so that each day we learn, we grow. And this episode, I hope, is growing you, just like it's been growing me. I give a lot of thanks to my husband because I consider him more of a master of his words And he's been teaching me for 25 years about this topic. It took a while, friends, for me to get it, to really get it. And I think it's because it took me that long to come to terms with the things that I have said, not just to others, but about myself. I don't know about you, but some of the harshest words that I have ever spoken have been to myself. And this, friends, is where you can really change your life. Instead of calling yourself fat, stupid, ugly, or I got a big nose, or whatever it is, or perpetually making up stories that you are this or that, or you're a victim of this or a victim of that, that might be true, but do you need to affirm it over and over? Or can you start changing the story? And start speaking life to yourself and start speaking what it is you want to create in yourself. Even if the physical representation of whatever it is has not arrived, you don't see it, it hasn't manifested in your life, that's faith, right? To speak the things that are not as though they were. The words you speak every day are like little deposits held in the bank of your body that are either leading to sickness and health, poverty, or abundance. We see in James 3, 5 through 6, it says, "So the tongue is a small member, but yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness." It's hard to know. Let me say this. I know it's hard when you're hurt and you're angry and you're frustrated and you're tired to watch every word that comes out of your mouth. But when you understand the ripple effect of your words, it's worth taking a few seconds to think or even a few hours to process your emotions before you say something you cannot take back. Like it or not, your words carry across time and generations. They either speak life or leave scars that carry you or others with them for the rest of their life. There were sayings that my dad passed down that he heard, and I've shared this in previous podcasts, where he said, "Little girls are to be seen and not heard." So I got the impression that I shouldn't be talking. And I held so much inside. I believed it. Now, if I had kids and I passed that along, and that's how you see this generation of words that gets passed down that impacts people. But this is where you can change it. This is where you can change your words and change your life and those of others in your life. Now, I have flown off the handle more times than I care to admit. And I hate that part of my past. But the most redemptive thing I can do is ask forgiveness where possible, forgive myself, and chart a new course with my words. I've learned that it's fine to say to someone, "Hey, I need to process my emotions right now, and I'll get back to you in X amount of time, and let's talk about it." It's better than saying the things that you likely don't mean when you're in the heat of an argument or just feeling bad that day. A lot of times people don't know what you are carrying. They don't know that you haven't slept in a week or that you just got some bad news about a chronic disease and you're holding it inside and next thing you're flying off the handle. People don't see the internal, but they hear the external. And because others don't take into account how you're feeling or how much you bottled up before you explode in a big rant, and you don't always say the things you're thinking, they don't know. They just know that you bit their head off. You said some bad things. We might not always be aware of it ourselves, whether or not we slept good or if we're hungry or lonely or stressed out over work or paying the bills or if we're feeling bad physically or our nervous system is just on edge because of a bunch of traumas in our life or the latest news on TV, all of that creates a state, our internal state. And we often speak out of our internal state. But hopefully this episode will bring awareness because you know the power of your words. And you know all too the pain of words as well. Our words and our tone of voice is often a result of our current state. And when we're not aware of that current state, we're not aware of our tone of voice. Awareness is key to managing your words. Awareness is key to managing your mind. So when you know you're not feeling quite right, that's the time to say, hey, put a pause on the conversation until you can speak words that are life-giving and love and affirming to others and about yourself. I also want to touch on another aspect of words, the words we don't say, also known as the silent treatment. If you're an avoidant, you might just shut down when you're in an argument or a conflict of some kind because that's what you've learned to do. You've learned to shove it down, walk away, and even act like whatever situation didn't happen. And I did a podcast on attachment styles, and this is a good one to listen to help you understand yourself and loved ones, or even those in the workplace, so you can understand your communication styles and how they affect you. But I also want to talk about silent treatment from a few different angles. So let's call a spade. Because silent treatment, in one of its forms, is manipulation and punishment. It's basically saying, I don't care enough about you or the situation to talk about it. The withholding of words that needs to be said, because one of the God-given purposes of words is for biblical reconciliation. I had a former boss who was like a brother to me, and he was a brother in Christ, and he kind of shut down when we had a falling out over some, what I considered many misunderstandings, but we never truly reconciled. And this turned out to be one of the most painful things that I've had to carry in recent years. And I think I had to carry it because there was this, gosh, this is hard. I never had the chance to extend words of forgiveness. And I wanted to. And to have a mutual understanding of my intentions and my heart. Because of the fact that we were both believers, I knew in my heart that by not reconciling, we were not being glorifying to God. And there was silent treatment on both sides. I had to finally turn the situation over to God, which was extremely difficult. Because knowing that I tried to do the right thing, and if anything, I knew God saw my heart, and that had to be enough for me. For my own peace, I had to surrender the situation to God and pray that God would ultimately be glorified if my heart stayed pure and true to Him. And my intention was always to pursue biblical reconciliation. So you probably can relate on some level where you wanted to say something and do the right thing, but the other person shut you down. If that is you, I want you to know that God sees and knows all, and He will fight the battles you can't. Now, sometimes the silent treatment is because someone is processing their emotions or improving their state, and they don't want to say what's on their mind until they calm down. In such case, the right and helpful thing to do is to let the other person know and say, hey, I need to process a few things. If I go quiet, it's because I'm thinking and I do want to talk, but let's revisit this. It's best to let the person know when you're going to revisit it, because otherwise you or the other person is left hanging, waiting and wondering and likely ruminating about all the things you think they're going to say to you. Isn't that the truth? On a side note, if you battle with ruminating thoughts like I have had or negative thinking that you want to stop, my fourth podcast discusses this at length, and so far it's been the most shared podcast because I share God's methods for managing your mind. Scripture says a gentle answer turns away wrath. This is a biblical principle that works wonders. You don't have to cuss or yell or be overly emotional. Just state clearly and calmly that you need a bit of time, and loving kindness in your tone will ease the tension. I know this is harder said than done, but by God's grace, when you commit to Him to change how you speak to yourself and others, the Spirit of God in you will help you, because it's according to His will. I've experienced this myself when I wanted to shut down or have a verbal word vomit out of frustration. When the silent treatment happens, it's best to take a minute and ask or give the person permission to take space and not feel bad about it. You will likely know if you are dealing with the person who's giving you the silent treatment because they are manipulative or trying to punish you by not talking to you. Not always, but these are usually people on the narcissistic spectrum where silent treatment is used to control the situation or person. In this case, the lack of words are being used to inflict pain on you purposely. And while that, friends, wouldn't be a relationship aligned with God's will. That is spiritual and emotional abuse. And it's painful. And patterns of that kind of silent treatment is sin. And it needs to be addressed and eliminated from your life until the person repents and has a changed life. I know I'm saying some hard things today. I think that's why I have felt the oppression. Because the pain of our words cuts so deep. But there's also another kind of silent treatment. The kind that we give to ourselves. When we shut down, or when we are shut down, rather, by another person, it brings up grief about every other time in our life we felt abandoned and every other time in our life when we didn't feel seen and heard. And this is where pain compounds upon pain and we shut down even more. Maybe you've been the one to give the silent treatment because you've been shut down by others too many times and you've learned to just retreat and not say anything at all. I'm painfully aware of this in my own life. And bringing this to the surface, friends, is how we are going to heal and get free of the pain that we store. The pain you don't let other people see, but your behavior shows it. If this is you, I want you to know that I know that pain. But more importantly, Jesus knows that pain. He knows what rejection feels like. But it is high time, friends, that you let your voice be heard for all the times someone shut you down. It is time to speak words of life and freedom over yourself. And I hope that you will grasp just how much your voice means to the world. I think sometimes this is why God led me to do this podcast when it was the last thing I thought I would ever do. It was never a life goal. It was never on my radar. I didn't believe in my voice or that I had anything worthy to share. But you, my dear listener on the other side, wherever you are in the world, I know that it's God's Spirit that is speaking to your spirit, and it is connecting our hearts. And I think that right now, as I say this, I sense God saying to you and to me, I hear the words that you are not saying because you silenced yourself, and it's time to use your voice. Whether that's learning to sing or intentionally reaching out to encourage or speak into the lives of others, it's time. It's time to set your voice free and use the words that the Lord will give you. To conclude today's episode and wrap up the pain, the power, and the purpose of our words, I want to leave you with 12 principles that you can apply to your life that will change your life and the life of others forever and leave a lasting legacy with the words that you have spoken. Now, if you're like me and you have said some words that you didn't mean to people that you truly love, there is no time like the present to ask for forgiveness. To say, hey, remember when I cussed at you and said horrible things? I've reflected on that and I'm really sorry. Will you forgive me? See, saying sorry is the human way of asking for forgiveness. But God's way is actually saying the words, will you forgive me? It brings God on the scene when you ask for forgiveness, and it builds a bridge. Maybe it won't restore the relationship if the relationship has been broken, but at least you know you tried. And in some cases, you can't have those conversations. That person is no longer in your life or reachable. But you can let God know your intentions. And most of all, forgive yourself. Because we're all on this journey together, walking in our fallen humanity, pursuing the greatness of God in our lives. So let's start with principle number one. Words are not harmless. They carry power. Every word you speak has creative or destructive power. So choose words that build, not break. Scripture tells us in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Principle number two, words leave a lasting impact on the soul. Words don't just pass through the ears. They lodge in the heart and shape memories. And they shape your legacy. Scripture says in Proverbs 12:18, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Principle number three, God created the world with words. And so do you. As image bearers of God, your words participate in creation every day, for good or for harm. Scripture tells us in Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Principle number four, your words reflect the state of your heart. If your words are harsh, negative, or flippant, it may be revealing unhealed areas inside. Scripture tells us in Luke 6:45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So pay attention to your state. If you are angry, lonely, tired, hungry, whatever the state is, that it can impact your words. It can impact your tone of voice. So through awareness, you can change the way you communicate and the words that you speak that are going to impact lives. Principle number 5, words affect your body and your biology. All that amazing science about frequency that we covered at the beginning. What you say can affect your immune system, hormones, stress levels, and even your gene expression. Scripture tells us in Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Principle number 6, you will give an account for every word. Words matter in eternity. Be intentional with your tone, timing, and truth. And remember, forgiveness is the path to reconciliation with others and with God. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. That's why we need a Savior, and that's why forgiveness is available to us each and every day. Matthew 12:36-37 says people will give an account for every careless word they speak. Principle number 7, speak truth over yourself, not condemnation. Stop rehearsing the old lies and begin declaring who you are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, I believed and so I spoke. Principle number 8, the silent treatment can be a weapon. Withholding words can wound as much as harsh ones. Silence without communication is often a form of control. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such is good for building up. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I need some space. I need some time. I need to think about this. Let's come back in 15 minutes, or let's talk about this tomorrow when I have a chance to process my emotions, because you matter to me and I want to make sure that I speak words that are going to be helpful to our conversation. Principle number 9, tone matters just as much as words. How you say something is often more impactful than what you say. Lead with gentleness. Scripture says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Again, being aware of your internal state and how you're feeling and what you're dealing with can all come across in the frequency of your words and your speech. The more you're aware, the better you will wield the power of your words. Principle number 10, you can use your voice to heal and encourage. One word of life can uplift a weary soul. Let your voice reflect heaven. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, that I may know how to sustain with a word to him who is weary. Principle number 11, speaking God's word aligns you with his will. When your speech reflects scripture, you partner with God to shape reality in alignment with him. In John 15 verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will bear much fruit, which is the scripture verse for our podcast, Abide. Abiding with Christ in our words is one of the most powerful things we can do. And lastly, principle number 12. Your voice has purpose. It's time to use it. You were created to speak life, declare truth, and set the captives free, including yourselves. And friends, let this be our prayer. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
If today's episode has spoken to your heart, I invite you to share this with others. You can follow along on Instagram at Abide for Life or connect with me at abideforlife.com.